إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And we send salutation upon the best of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, one who was sent as a rahmatul lil alameen, as a mercy for the entire humanity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected brothers, the topic that we have at hand today is a very important topic, which is entitled Truth versus Falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom has created everything in this universe. Allahu khaliqu kulla shay. Allah is the creator of everything, each and every iota, each and every atom in this universe. Keeping this ayat in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created both truth and falsehood, evil and good, vice and virtue. Now there are many reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created both. And it is not the scope of our discussion today to discuss that. Why did Allah ta'ala create both? Why did Allah create both truth and falsehood? Although we must also make mention a point on aqidah. Although Allah has created both truth and falsehood, good and bad, vice and virtue, only to refer vice towards Almighty Allah. The ulama has said it is not permissible. It is not permissible only to say Allah created evil. To say Allah created everything and included in that everything, truth and falsehood, it is permissible. Many times people will say that if it is the truth, then what is wrong in me saying it? If something is true, then what is wrong if I say it? There are many things that although correct and although truthful, we don't make mention of it either because of respect or for other considerations. If someone refers to one's father as my mother's husband, there is nothing incorrect in it. But no one does so, and it's not advisable for him to do so, because it is disrespectful to his father, although it is correct. In a similar manner, our ulama have said to say only Allah is the creator of evil is not respectful to Almighty Allah. It is like someone who takes a person for a tour of a wonderful building, and the building is a masterpiece. And then after he takes takes the person and the guest around the most beautiful building, and then afterwards he shows him everything and then shows him the bathroom and says, after he showed him everything and said, you know, the architect designed the toilets. That architect also will feel hurt afterwards. I only didn't design that. I designed the entire building. Why are you only saying I designed only the bathrooms? In a similar manner, our ulama have said it is disrespectful that we must say only Allah created evil, although Allah created everything. Having said that, there are reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. As I said, that there is no, this is not the scope of our discussion, other than to make mention of one thing. There is an Arabic saying, "Ash-shay'u tu'rafu bi azdadiha." Many a times we come to learn the value of things by its opposites. And someone had said that I have learned kindness from those who are unkind. When I saw people who are harsh and unkind, then I realized the value of kindness. I have learned mercy and forgiveness from those who are unmerciful. I have learned the importance of silence when I've seen people who excessively talk and they do not talk things which are productive and constructive. Yet I remain ungrateful to those teachers of mine. So meaning that you came to realize kindness by seeing those people who are unkind, and then realize how important it is for me to be kind. When you see people who are unkind or uncouth or unmerciful. In a similar manner, we come to realize the value of light when we realize that the opposite is also there. It is a reality, it is existent, and that is darkness. If we didn't know about darkness, or we didn't know that darkness exists, perhaps we would not have valued light the way we do so today. This is one of the reasons. Suffice to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and everything. Allah has created truth and falsehood, and there are reasons for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing so. And when we look at history, we find from the inception of humankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made these forces go together. These forces have always been there in human history. There's always been truth on one side and there's always been falsehood on the other side. There have always been piety on one side and there has been profanity on the other side. There have always been vice and virtue, which has always been part of human history and human existence. Even in the time of, for example, the most virtuous period of human history, about which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Khairul quruni karni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum." The best of all eras is my era. But yet, even in that era, in the Mubarak company of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were people who were munafiqs and hypocrites who plotted the downfall of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in that Mubarak and blessed era. So there's always been that type of situation, where truth and falsehood had always been in this world. And it is something that we cannot escape and something that we cannot get away from. Many times when we look at human history, we find that the truth sometimes came in humility, sometimes came with due consideration and fear of Almighty Allah. And batil and falsehood came with great amount of arrogance, great amount of pride. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, ultimately truth will prevail. If it's not in this world, then definitely in the year after. When we look at history, we find that when falsehood came with all its might and power and all its arrogance in the form of Namrud, truth came in the form of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When falsehood emerged through the ways of Fir'aun with his power, his might, his army, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to confront that. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did not have that degree of power, material power, or that type of strength. But yet ultimately Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam prevailed. When falsehood came in various ways in the 6th century of the common era, then truth was championed by the ultimate bringer of truth, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored you, O humankind, when you were in the throes of darkness. The way Hazrat Mawlan Abu al-Hassan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, when our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his appearance on the firmament of this earth, it seemed that there was a locked place on the destiny of humankind and the keys were lost. With the keys of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unlocked the destiny of humankind and humankind once again prospered. Allah says, we have favored you, O human being, by sending you such a prophet, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, who recite the ayats of Almighty Allah ta'ala to you, who teaches you the kitab and wisdom, and who purifies you. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And previous to that, you were on a path that was leading you astray. So this is our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came in the form of truth. Even thereafter, when batil came in the form of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, then truth came in the form of Sayyid ibn Zubair and many other companions who confronted Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. When batil came in the form of Mu'tasim Billah, and truth came in the form of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. When batil was championed by Mansur, It was Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi who carried the flag of the torch bearers of truth, and his idea with regard to the Quran prevailed, because of which up to this day we take pride in making mention of the Quran that is the unaltered word of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can continue making mention with regard to it. Now, after understanding this concept, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created both truth and falsehood. After understanding that Allah has his reasons, amongst the reasons is that many a times we come to realize the value of something by its opposite. After realizing that throughout human history, up to this day, these two concepts have always existed jointly in this world, and it's a reality that we can never escape. There will never be a utopia. There will never be a situation in this world where only truth will be there and there will be no falsehood. And neither will it be vice versa, that there will only be falsehood and there will be no truth. Those two things will be together till the end of humankind. And also understand that throughout history there are examples that ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes truth prevail. The way he says in the Quran, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Verily tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Falsehood has disappeared in the face of truth. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. For verily falsehood is a vanishing act. Now there are certain things that we got to understand, certain aspects that we got to understand with regard to truth. I will try and make mention of certain points during the course of the talk. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means for us to remain firm and steadfast upon truth. Who doesn't like to be on the truth, my dear respected brothers? Each and everyone likes it. Each and everyone wants to be on truth. Even if for whatever reasons he might be, maybe because of his own weakness, maybe because desire has overwhelmed him, maybe because of certain other things, he might be taking a path that is away from truth. But deep down, especially within the ummah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each and everyone in deep down would like to remain on truth. And especially with regard to this ummah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah. No matter how, Hazrat Mu'adh Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi was once asked, how is it possible that a person remains 60 or 70 years in this world, but Allah will grant him, because of his belief, Allah will grant him a reward eternally in Jannah? And how is it that a person who does evil and who is a disbeliever to the truth, how is it that when he is a disbeliever to the truth, he remains 60 and 70 years in this world, but Allah Ta'ala will keep him in hellfire eternally? How is that possible when it seems that Allah Ta'ala is just, and definitely Allah is just? How does it weigh that he stays in this world for 60, 70 years, but his recompense is eternal? Mu'adh Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi gave the answer, and what a beautiful answer he said. And you will see the truth of it in your day-to-day life. He says that a person who is a believer, he has this intention that even if I live for eternity, I deep down would like to lead my life in obedience of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his intention of living a life of obedience for eternity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him eventually in Jannah for eternity. And ask the disbeliever with regard to his way of life, and he will say, no, my way of life is right. Even if I live forever, I want to live like this. Because your intention is to lead your life like that, Allah will deal with you as if you want to lead your life in that particular way. You are happy to lead that life. If you had a life of eternity, you would have led it like that. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala punishes you accordingly. So there is absolutely nothing against the justice of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this concept. After understanding this, as I said, each and everyone want to be on truth. Few things we got to understand with regard to the truth. While it is something that we would like to have, there is always something that there are certain principles. You don't just get something for nothing. You have to make certain types of effort. The first thing, today we are living in a world where there is a certain type of philosophy which has emerged. I might dare say that it is a philosophy which has been very carefully nurtured. And more we are seeing it, especially Muslim professionals and others today, when we live and we stay in a life amongst other type of faith groups and you know, interacting with others, we find this philosophy more and more emerging, which is sometimes termed as moral relativism, which gives this impression that truth and falsehood, they are not eternal concepts. They are not something that is there intrinsically valid or universally obliging all the time. It is like what we say, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You see, they say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. It depends on you. Sometimes truth can be falsehood, aliyadu billah, and vice versa. There is nothing like truth with a capital T, the way we would like to say. There is nothing like truth. They say no. It is sometimes it is like beauty in the eyes of the beholder. Someone made mention one day to Layla and Majnun. We all know the situation of Layla and Majnun, the aspect of love between the two. And Layla always used to make mention with regard to, Majnun always used to make mention with regard to, my Layla is like this and my Layla is like that. And she is so beautiful. One day someone happened to see Layla and said, now what is this Majnun making so much noise about? What is this? So he went to Majnun and said, you talk so much about all the time, Layla, I didn't find no beauty in her. So Majnun said, you saw her with your eyes, see her with my eyes. Then you will know what it is. You know, don't see her with your eyes, see her with my eyes. He said, truth is also like beauty, it's the eyes of the beholder. And they use this complex type of situations. There is one person who is a very famous person by the name of Dr. Fletcher. He is what he calls an expert in situation ethics. He sometimes, they ask you a question, you know, that is why people who do sociology and they do one thing that they know as the value clarification. They say you must clarify yourself with regard to values. There is no absolute value that is right. It depends on your situation. Sometimes there is a value that is truth and sometimes that same thing can be false. And as to give you an example, they said, if someone wants to murder your friend, and your friend is hiding away and he comes and asks you, where is your friend? And what will you do? If you tell him, you have become an accomplice to murder. You have helped someone to murder your friend. And if you don't tell him, you have spoken a lie. And you see, therefore there is nothing like truth with a capital T. There is false, it can be beauty. But yet, Allah Ta'ala has kept certain things in every human being. He is in search of truth. Every human being in some way wants his truth. And that is why you find, despite such a great propaganda against religion by and large throughout the world, there are still people clinging on to religion. Because human being deep down, Allah Ta'ala has created him both with body and soul, physically and also with spiritually. And the physical appetites are only one aspect of his existence. It is not the entire existence of his. There is also the spirit and the spirituality which wants to be nourished just as the physical self wants to be nourished. And therefore, human being craves and searches for truth. And when we look at this particular situation, Allah, my dear respected brothers, we must be grateful to Almighty Allah that Allah has given us a religion. Allah has given us a deen that cannot be changed by any imam, by any sheikh, by any mawlana. Islam avoids the pitfall of giving us some, you know, boy scout types of morals that is just only fit for a furniture piece in our house and it is not, you know, practical in day-to-day life. Allah has given us a deen, which Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. I have completed and perfected deen for you, and I have completed my favors upon you, and I have chosen Islam as a religion for you. Islam is such a religion which Allah has chosen for us. In that lies the truth. ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل من. Whosoever chooses any other religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The deen in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holy Islam. Allah has chosen this religion for us. And it is perfect. So therefore, yes, we believe that there is truth with a capital T. Don't ever get into a situation of compromising on that particular aspect. Even if, the ulama say, even if you are weak in fulfilling the truth, by and large, There is no excuse for a person not following the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no. But the ulama say, Hazrat Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi has made mention, if there is a person who is misled or goes away from truth because of arrogance, there is no hope for his salvation. But when there is a person who sometimes, due to human weakness, human lapses, sometimes he doesn't follow the truth, inshallah, it is hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day will bring him back upon the right path. See, that is why Iblis, when he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, قَالَ مَا مَنَاكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. O Iblis, what prevented you of making sijda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam after I had commanded you? What did he say? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ I'm better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينَ I have been created from fire, he has been created from mere dust and mere sand. Fire is such, you light it up on the ground, it will go up towards the horizon. Take sand and throw it even up towards the horizon and the sky, it will still come down. I am better than him, I am created from fire. Aba wastakbar. He refused and he was arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ And he became among the rejectors. But as Adam alayhi salatu wasalam also went, apparently I'm using it deliberately, against the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although there was a great difference. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam realized his mistake, he wasn't arrogant. He immediately was humble. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Oh Allah, I have done wrong unto my soul. If you don't forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will be destroyed. Allah says in another place in the Holy Quran, فَتَلَقَّى عَادَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Allah put this word, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا, Allah put these words upon the tongue of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So when we say رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا, we must never regard it as insignificant. Our ulama say, they give us an example. Sometimes you see your son who has done something wrong. Small child, infant child, maybe the first time he did something wrong. And he did something wrong. Maybe he scratched your car or he took a particular valuable piece of the furniture and he broke it down. And you scold him. He rebuked him. The child is only accustomed to your love. He first time sees you in anger. First time he sees the father in anger. He doesn't know how to deal with it. And he becomes anxious, perturbed, disturbed by this whole situation. I'm only accustomed of love from my father. Look at what my father is doing. He's rebuking me. He doesn't know what to say. You also realize, maybe I have overstepped the limits with regard to my anger. What do? Then you tell your child, never mind, say sorry. What'd you say? Never mind, say sorry. Now you telling the child, you are angry, you telling the child, never mind, say sorry. The child says sorry, you hug the child. Allah Ta'ala also in the same way. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did something. He came down to the earth. He didn't know how to come back to Allah. Allah Ta'ala told him, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Allah put the words of رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا upon Adam alayhi salam. When he said it, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Allah Ta'ala turned back towards him and Allah Ta'ala embraced him. What was the difference? One was arrogant, one was humble after committing the mistake. And that is what we need to understand. Even when we do something out of weakness, we don't compromise upon the truth. A clear example. Someone tells you have to read 5 times daily salat. Everyone knows that is a requirement. It is a duty upon each and every Muslim. Someone tells you are not doing it. There are two ways of approaching it. One, you say, listen man, 5 times daily salat was for those sahaba, aliyadu billah, or those ulama who didn't lead a very hectic lifestyle. We lead such a hectic lifestyle, we don't have time. We can only read 2 salat, only 1 salat, aliyadu billah. That's one way. Another way is saying, brother, what you are saying is right. I'm only reading 3. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala make it such that one day I will be able to read 5. The person who adopts this latter attitude, inshallah, one day he will come upon the right path. Inshallah, one day he will come. Therefore, don't compromise. And that is why this is the beauty. You see, today there is this whole situation of trying to make it seem that there is a reformation needed in Islam. You know, and there is actually a whole move that is there to say that Islam, Aliyadu Billah, is in need of a Martin Luther the way. He brought about a reformation within Christianity and started the Protestant movement. And you'll find that, you'll find this made mention in many, many places in the height of the Salman Rushdie issue many, many years back. The Los Angeles Times wrote a situation. He said that the debate and the question within the Muslim Ummah is whether the Quran is the same Quran that was revealed upon our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was never an issue. But you can't believe what jealousy there is in the hierarchy of those who are against Islam, that there must be this whole new reformation movement. Or there must be this whole situation of Muslims saying, no, Islam and Sharia is no more applicable to us. It was applicable in the 6th and 7th century. It is not applicable to us. And they say you need a reformation. My dear respected brothers, you only reform something when it is deformed. Let me say again, you only reform something which is deformed. We don't believe Islam to be deformed for it to be in need of reformation. Let me also make mention that there is a saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Brothers, if we start doing that, there will be no Islam left. When we do in Rome as the Romans do, there will be no Islam left. No, we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands of us. And if we can't do it because of weakness, we won't go to anyone. We'll go back to Allah ta'ala and say, oh Allah, we have not been able to fulfill it because of our weakness. You make it easy for us to fulfill it. The first thing with regard to truth, my dear respected brothers. Yes, we believe in something that is intrinsically valid, which is truth with a capital T, and we won't compromise upon that, inshallah. Especially in today's time. Second thing, my dear respected brothers, today we are living in a world with regard to truth, that while we believe that it is important, we also have this situation that today we have made truth somehow or the other to mean social acceptance. Truth is not so much what we are required from the Quran and Hadith to do. It is more with regard to social acceptance. What will people say about the way of life I adopt? So more than fulfillment of truth, what we have done is we have reduced truth to social acceptance more than doing it because it is a requirement or the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find this happening more and more. You know, our young people, we sometimes, I don't know whether rightly or so, whatever, we sometimes complain that they get involved in peer pressure. And social pressure, wallah, is a very, very powerful force. In the time of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in the time when Islam was dominant and good was dominant over the world, you found that normally social pressure and societal pressure was and led people towards doing good. Now, unfortunately, it leads people towards doing evil. Right? So a person wants to do something according to a sunnah of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What will the society say? Loko hu ke hai? What will people say? So our whole concept of truth has become more on what people say rather than us following truth because of getting it from the source of truth, which is the Quran and Hadith. This is what is becoming more and more prevalent we are finding. This is something that we also got to keep in mind. When we look at the life of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, we find that they were ridiculed and they were called liars and sorcerers and people who are doing jadu upon us by the very same people whom Allah had sent the prophets to reform and bring them towards success and prosperity. So you find those people ridiculing the prophets. You find them calling them liars and sorcerers, aliyadu billah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was called a liar. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was called that he is doing black magic upon us. And this is something that when we keep this in mind, we will find that following the truth which each and every one of us desires requires a certain degree of determination and fortitude. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He makes mention with regard to those whom Allah ta'ala is happy with, one of the qualities among the other qualities Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They do not fear or they are not deterred by the criticism of those who level criticism against them, as long as they feel that they are upon the truth. There's a very beautiful incident about Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam in the Holy Quran. وَيَسْنَعُ الْفُلْكُ كُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِّنْهِ. He started building an ark in the middle of the desert. And the people came by him and they started laughing and mocking at him. Who needs an ark and a ship in the middle of the desert? Previously there used to be an idiom in English that used to say, it is like taking coal to Newcastle. I'm not sure, you people know more about it than me. That's what they say. What do you need to do a ship in the middle of the desert? قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. He asked Allah, oh Allah, what must I do? Allah Ta'ala told him, go and tell them that you are mocking at me today. One day I will mock at you the way you are mocking at me. The way you are laughing at me. And they say the one who laughs, last, laughs the best. So that is what he did. He put up that ark in the middle of the desert. And when the people started laughing at him, he said, laugh, one day I will mock at you the way you are mocking at me. And when the flood waters came, according to the promise of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wiped away their disdain and their arrogance. And as Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam was saved. To such an extent, قَالَ سَعَوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاغِ. He was on the ship when he saw his son who was a disbeliever. And he called out towards him, oh, come towards me, oh my son. يَا بُنَيَّرْ كَمْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Be with me and do not be with the disbelievers. So the son said, oh my father, you don't know, I got certain hideouts. Sawi ila jabal, I will go towards the mountain tops. No one will be able to get hold of me there. The water won't be able to come to that particular point. Sawi ila jabal, ya'asimuni min al-ma. Qala la asim al-yawma min amrillah. So Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam said, oh my son, no one will be able to be saved from the punishment of Allah, except the one whom Allah has mercy upon. Wa hala baynahum al-mawj. They were sitting and talking. The father, Ajalilul Qadr Peygamber. A Jalilul Qadr prophet, the son of a disbeliever. He was destroyed. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. So this is what happened. The one who laughs last, he laughs the best. Allah Ta'ala in another place in the Holy Quran makes mention, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ عَامَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. The mujrims, the criminals, in terms of what? In terms of the law of Almighty Allah, not the law of the land. كانوا من الذين آمنوا. They start mocking at the believers. وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون. When the believers go by, يتغامزون, here they say, wink their eyes. Here goes another fundamentalist. وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون. You know, فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون. On the day of Qiyamah, the believers will mock in a similar manner at those people who are disbelievers. So keep this in mind, my dear respect of this. Truth requires fortitude, determination, perseverance, steadfastness. Yes. Even if sometimes it is the expense of people's mockery. And the worst thing in the world would be that you trade truth with falsehood for fear of being ridiculed by those people whom you do not know what is going to be their destiny. The most ridiculous thing would be to do such a thing. That's the second thing that I would like to make mention of. The third thing is again making mention that truth by its nature requires an effort. Truth by its nature requires effort. And falsehood in many ways doesn't require any type of effort. Falsehood by its very nature is something that you don't need much effort. You just go with the flow, you just go with your desires, do what your lust tells you to do, and you would be on the road of falsehood. It's also a logical thing, my dear Israel. You want to build something, it requires an effort. It requires an effort. If you want to destroy something, you require no effort. If you have a home, right, you have a beautiful home, you don't maintain it for 2-3 months. When you come into that home, you will find there will be a stench, there will be a smell. It becomes difficult for human beings to live in a home that has not been occupied for several months. Leave it for a year, you will see it will become dilapidated. Right? And after a while, it will become so dilapidated, without you doing anything, it will be destroyed. It will become dilapidated. But now you want to put up a home. How much type of taklif there is in putting up a home, in constructing something? You have to go through the architects, and then you have to go through the city council, and rezoning, and different type of things. And then you have to call the artisans, and I don't know what you call them here, but whether they be the electricians, or the plumbers, or whatever. And I don't know, wallahu alam, I know in South Africa I can talk with some authority. Yeah, I don't know the situation. I don't know whether the law of Allah Ta'ala's commands about promises apply to them. Allah knows best. But in our situation, very seldom. Then you have to go all through. Why? Because you have to build up something. You want to, don't to build something, what you do? Do nothing. It will become destroyed. In a similar manner, if you want to be on truth, you have to make an effort. If you don't want to be on truth, you want to be on falsehood, do nothing. Just follow your desires. It's very, apparently very easy. Very easy. From the apparent point of view. You see, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran makes mention about the statement of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا أُبَرِّعُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. I don't absolve my nafs and my desire from blame. My desire is such, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ, it will lead me towards evil. It will lead me towards falsehood. Except the person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves. Desire and lust and passion by its very nature, it is something that leads you towards falsehood and evil. Give it a free rein, it will lead you towards evil. And when you want to be on truth, you have to rein in that particular desire and lust. That Ali radiallahu ta'ala was once asked, O Amirul Mu'mineen, how can we enter into Jannah? How can we enter into Jannah? And Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, blessed as he was with wisdom, wa aqdahum Ali. And then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is the doorkeeper of the city of knowledge, said our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? He said, very easy for you to go to Jannah. Put your one foot and trample your desire. The next step, you go into Jannah. He said, put your one step onto the desire. The next step, you go into Jannah. That is half the battle won. And you know, my dear respected brothers, we are living in a world today which in many ways, it advocates the more you fulfill your desire, the more you will be happy. This is the situation. So you find from the day you get up in the morning, you go on the motorway, you see the billboards, or whether you pick up the newspaper or any magazine, you will find nearly everything is there which is goading and encouraging us to fulfill our desire, our lust and our passion. Sometimes it tells you, obey your thirst. You have to drink a particular type of drink to obey your thirst. Sometimes it tells you, just do it. Just do it without any limitations. There is a message in there, my dear respected brother. Really, there is a message in there. There is all these type of situations. And it is so, so pervasive, this type of advertising. It seems sometimes we don't have the real, you know, option of saying no. And in reality, it is this particular consumerism advertising sell a shell. They don't sell any reality. What is even more amazing is, you will find that they will tell you, indulge, 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 buy, consume. It's something that you will never get over. You know, this is the reality with regard to this consumerism that has reached our age. So even when you buy the latest gadget, which seems to be that when you buy this gadget, you are going to become the envy of your peers and your friends. You know, all of a sudden, 6 months down the line, it is no more so trendy. You have to buy something new to become now the envy of your friends again. So it is never something. And what is even more amazing with regard to the age of consumerism that we are living in, even when you overindulge, listen to this, even when you overindulge, you have to buy something for the sake of indigestion. That also you have to buy something, you have to consume something for overindulgence. This is the situation that we are living in. So, you know, this whole particular message is there. The more you buy, the more you consume, the more you fulfill your desire, then it will give you more and more pleasure. It will give you more happiness. Whether it will give you more prosperity, whether it can deliver or not, it's a whole completely different matter. Whether it can deliver or not is a completely different matter. You see, the happiness and the prosperity of fulfilling your desire and your lust and your passion, and then expecting happiness and contentment and satisfaction, is like the example. Two examples I will give you. One of a person who is an addict to drugs. May Allah Ta'ala save us and save all the Muslim children and all our youth. It is like the person who is addicted towards drugs. When he is on a low, he feels that if I take this particular drug, it will bring me to a high. He takes it. He comes to a high, but after that, he becomes even more depressed when he took the drug in the first place. This is the situation. That is a happiness that will come by fulfillment of your desires and your lust. It will never be able to bring you complete happiness and satisfaction. And that is why we find this in this world today. There is so much emphasis upon happiness by fulfilling your desire that it seems that today we must be living in an age where people are most happiest, most prosperous. That it is not so is no secret. Go and have, if there was have to be an index to gauge the misery of humankind today, wallah, it must be at an all-time high. Never before have human beings been so depressed and so unhappy the way they are today, despite the greatest amount of advertising to be happy by fulfilling your desire and your pleasure. Why? Why is it so? I read somewhere in a Newsweek article some time back that by the year 2020, there is going to be amongst the greatest cause of death of human individual because of depression. And you ask why? Because you are trying to become happy by using the wrong ingredient, by fulfillment of your desire. And Allah has not kept happiness and contentment by the fulfillment of your desire. You must keep that in mind. The same thing that becomes apparently the means of your happiness, apparently the means of your prosperity, apparently becomes the means of your destruction. There might be many young people here. Maybe I can relate one particular type of example to them. You see, there is this, young people like fast cars. At least I know that in South Africa, I'm sure it must be the same here. They love fast cars, and they will also talk with regard to which car is the fastest. I don't know which, is it BMW or Golf 5 or whatever it is. I don't know which one it is. Surely not the Tata that comes from India. But be as it may, they will always talk about it. Right? And then some young people will say, no man, what are you talking? My car is the fastest. Go from 0 to 100 in 7 seconds. Other ones say, so slow. It goes. My car goes from 0 to 100 in 4.8 seconds. I was seeing a billboard in Johannesburg before I came. They were advertising the new Audi. 0 to 100 kilometers in 3.8 seconds. Subhanallah. Now you look at this situation. Now the young people are, you know, they're talking which car is the most fastest. Let me give you another example. Now you're going with this particular car, which looks very trendy when you buy it. You know, you become the envy of your friends. May I dare say it, even the opposite sex would like to be sitting with you in that particular car. All of a sudden, you've got this very trendy car. Now, all of a sudden, you're driving this, and while you are driving at 100 kilometers, you people are supposed to go by miles, 100 kilometers or whatever it is, and the brakes fail. Now what happens now? Does it matter whether you go from 0 to 100 in how many seconds? Or does it now matter how quick can I come from 100 to 0? How quick can I come from 100 to 0? That's what matters. Now just think of this. That which became the means of your happiness and prosperity, if it doesn't have brakes, becomes the means of your destruction. In a similar manner, our lust and our passion, which if we utilize it correctly can become the means of happiness and satisfaction. But if you don't have the brakes, that same lust and passion become the means of your spiritual destruction. And what is the brakes for our lust and passion? The commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Becomes the brakes. Keep that particular fast car, keep it restrained by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise it will become the means of your destruction. Allah, it will become the means of your destruction. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah has kept happiness in something completely different. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hearts feel contented and hearts feel satisfied. Allah will grant contentment when you remember Allah. It's a very different kind of contentment. Not the normal contentment that comes by the fulfillment of desire. You see, it is the type of contentment about which our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, the coolness of my eyes lies in salat. Where do we find that in today's time? Where do we find that? When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be overwhelmed by difficulties of this world, by the anxieties of this world, he used to say, oh Bilal, give the call of Azan. I want to remember my Allah. And I want to bring down my anxiety. My dear respect brothers, when are we going to learn to fulfill our contentment through the means of the zikr of Almighty Allah, where Allah has kept it? So keep this in mind. Third thing I've made mention, truth by its very nature. That is why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Hujibatil naru bis shahawat wa hujibatil jannatu bil makari. Allah has surrounded Jannah by toil and effort. There is a toil and effort in in getting up for Fajr prayers in the early hours of the morning. There's a toil and effort in performing five times daily salat. There's a toil and effort in performing and keeping your fast. But Allah has kept Jannat surrounded by such toil and effort. وَهُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded Jahannam by the fulfillment of your desires and your passions. The fourth thing let me make mention is that when we are on truth, when we are on truth, then we are doing no one but ourselves a favor. We are not doing it to show our piety to Almighty Allah, or that we are doing Allah Ta'ala aliyadu billah a favor. No. When we are on truth, we are doing it for our own benefit, my dearest brothers. We don't do Allah, no. Allah is not in need of our ibadat. Allah is not in need of our worshipping. Allah is great whether we call Him great or not. Allah is masjood whether we make sijda to Him or not. Only Allah is worthy of making sijda to, whether we make sijda to Him or not. Only Allah alone is worthy of worship, whether we worship Allah or not. Allah is not in need of our ibadah. We need it for our own benefit. So when you are on truth, keep this in mind, that we strive towards that for our own benefit. Not to show Allah Ta'ala that we have done something very great and we are doing a favor to Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said such a beautiful thing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, if each and every human being in this universe becomes the most pious of all people and they worship Allah the way Allah is supposed to be worshipped, it won't make one iota of difference to the greatness of Allah. And if each and every human being become the worst transgressors of the laws of Almighty Allah, it won't make one iota of difference to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need truth for our own self, my dear respected brothers, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was very beautifully illustrated once in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did an amazing, amazing decision in the height of the battle against the enemies at that particular time. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent a message with a person, go towards a Muslim army, and when you do it in a dramatic way, call everyone, take away the robe of leadership of the Muslim army from Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu and give it to someone else. People were amazed, people were stunned. And I would go on to say that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was the greatest military general, not perhaps only in the history of Islam, but in the history of humankind. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala relieved him from this particular post. People were stunned. Look at this whole thing. And they asked Umar, Umar, why did you take such a decision? Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, people were starting to say, Islam was gaining victory on the battlefields because of Khalid. I wanted to show them that no, Islam will gain victory if we adhere to the commands of Allah with or without Khalid. Allah will grant victory to Muslims. Although he was great, he was Saifullah. But even Allah did not need Saifullah for the sake of implementing his plans. On the other hand, look at the beauty. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was asked by the people and said, Umar relieved you. Why should you now fight? Go and sit at home and go back to Medina and enjoy yourself with your family members. What the reply is said, since when am I fighting for Umar? Since when am I fighting for Umar? I am fighting for Allah, whether I be the leader or not, or whether I be the general or not. So keep this in mind, the fourth thing I'm making mention, my dear respected brothers. When we do the truth and we want to be upon the right path, we do it for our own benefit. We are not doing any favor to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me also go on to make mention, my dear respected brothers, the fifth thing is that we don't look at numbers when we want to be on truth. When you want to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't say, how many people are reading five times daily salat for you to make your mind up? Whether it be 5% or 2%. Five times daily salat is a command from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've got to do it whether there is one person doing it or 1% or 2%. It was Gandhi who one day made mention that, you know, if I'm one person and I'm on the truth and the entire humanity is on falsehood, then I have a majority of one because I'm on truth and they are on falsehood. Allah has made mention of it in a far better way. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Tell unto the people of Almighty, tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, that truth and falsehood, evil and good will never be equal. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Even if you become amazed by the prevalence of evil in this world, even if you become amazed and you are taken aback by the prevalence and the amount of people who are doing that evil. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Fear Allah, O people of understanding, so that you might be successful. So when we talk about the truth, we do it because of the command of Almighty Allah. And that's what we are supposed to do, so we don't look at how many other people are with us. We do it because of the command of Almighty Allah. Let me conclude and I start making mention in the conclusion, two more other things. One is, when we realize the truth and falsehood, you must keep in mind the person who does and follows the truth and the person who follows falsehood are not going to be equal by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not going to be equal by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think that they are going to be equal? Do you think that just by you not doing things, even if there is difficulty and toil in fulfilling the commands of Allah, are you going to be equal, you know, to the one who is doing that effort and toil to comply with the commands of Allah? Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in the many places in the Holy Quran. أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do you feel that the one who has iman and does amal saliha is like that one who corrupts the earth by his guna and sin? أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Do you feel that the one who fears Allah is like the fajr, the one who transgresses the command of Allah? Do you feel that they are equal? Do you feel that the one who has a hectic lifestyle and he has all that, but yet he takes out time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to read his salat and to make his zikr, to read his tilawat, he is equal to the one who doesn't care and bother about it and is indifferent to that? Do you feel that the one who has limited resources, but yet despite that limited resources, when a haram deal comes upon him, he shuns that haram deal because it is haram and I don't want to taint my iman with haram? Can that person be equal to that person who indulges in haram and then feeds his family haram? Can they be equal in the eyes of Almighty Allah? Can that person who earns haram and then, you know, he brings about all types of luxuries to his family and to his children, which each and every father wants to bring to his children, is that person better than that person who, despite the fact of being a father wanting to do it for the children, but he doesn't want to get involved in haram, and he tells his children, oh my children, I also would like to bring that to you, but I don't have the means and I can't go and earn haram, and therefore I cannot afford and give you those things that you are demanding because I don't have enough sufficient halal income. Is that person going to be equal to that person who earns haram and give all types of luxuries to his family? So therefore it is, we have to make a choice. And when we make that choice, my dear respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must keep us steadfast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must keep us in that way that we always remain upon that. Steadfastness, my dear respected brothers, upon the truth is something that is a very, very great virtue. You know, once our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone came to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice, but keep it very, very short. Give me advice, keep it short. I don't have to refer to anyone for advice thereafter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you remain steadfast upon that till the day you die. You remain steadfast upon that, even if there is difficulty. We are living in an age where everything is instant. You know, today we are living in an age where we want instant things. So even with regard to our deen, we want instant. We make one day Fajr Salat, we think we have now come like Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramtullahi. There's a situation. We want everything instant. I don't know if I made mention of this. I think maybe previously when I came once, I made mention of this incident. You see, I was brought up in a very small town. Now, alhamdulillah, it has grown. It used to be called, in our terms, a plus. Plus means a village, complete away from the urban areas. And you know, even when we came to Johannesburg and we saw the glamour and the lights, we became quite amazed. Look at the beautiful lights here. Because we came from a very small town. So one day a person who came from such a small town didn't know about the situation in the city, came from a complete village. Complete Dihat and village, came to the city. So when he came to the city, his relatives of the city, they took him to the supermarket. So he started and he was amazed. There is a corner shop, that's all what you have in the village. Look at this amount of things that is in this supermarket. He went past one aisle and he saw there written, milk powder. So he asked his relative, what is milk powder? He said, very easy, you put little bit of powder, you put water, it becomes milk. He said, Allahu Akbar. In our village, we have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cow to get milk. You're telling me little powder, little water, milk? SubhanAllah, must be something quite great. When the next aisle, he saw soup powder. He said, what is this now? He said, well, very easy to understand. You put little powder, you put hot water, it becomes soup. SubhanAllah, we have to get up from Fajr to boil the bones for us to make soup by the end of the day. You telling me, just put little bit of powder, put hot water, it becomes soup. SubhanAllah. But can you imagine his surprise when he went to the next aisle and he saw baby powder? We leave it to you to work that out. We don't want to make the effort. How are we going to get things, my dear respected brothers? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Ahabbu al-a'mali ila Allah adwamuha wa inqal." The most beloved deed in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which, although little, it is done constantly. Consistently you do it. Allah, you do something on a daily basis. Even if it's 2 rakats of extra nafil on a daily basis, is better than on once in 6 months you want to tear over the musalla. This is something that we need to bring in our lives. Even if you can't make a khatam, take the Quran and read two pages a day. And make a khatam at the end of the year from Ramadan to Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you blessing in your life. Take two pages a day. Allah loves that, my dear respected brothers. Keep steadfast. Allah ta'ala loves that. To such a degree that you can't understand this. That is why, you know, there is this type of situation that an istiqamat is so important. And when we have this istiqamat, we need to keep this istiqamat upon all the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if there is some difficulty, you know, it is made mention about Sheikh Sadi rahmatullah alayhi. I'm not sure it was Sheikh Sadi rahmatullah alayhi. Right, let me leave that and continue with this. I would like to conclude this. So istiqamat, if we remain istiqamat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then reward the person who is upon the truth. And then on the day of Qiyamah, wallah, my dear respected, then we will see the reality of truth. When you remain steadfast upon truth, then you will see the reality. Today, you and I, one of the big problems that is facing Muslims throughout the world, we look at instant success and instant gratification as success. So we see material success and material comforts as the ultimate in terms of success. Now, I'm not saying that it's not permissible for you to accumulate wealth. And especially if you are doing it for the sake of the right reason and noble purposes, it is very, very rewarding. If you do it for the right purpose. Unfortunately today, no one accumulates wealth with the intention that I will empower others. I will, inshallah, build an empire and I will give so many other people risk. And I will build up my empire in such a way that I will not be vulnerable to other forces that are out there. Those are noble purposes. I'm not making mention with regard to the permissibility. That is something that is quite different. I am talking of a mindset that says that if I have wealth, I am successful. If I don't have wealth, I'm not successful. And you find sometimes, unfortunately, even people who, for whatever reason, have not been able to accumulate much wealth, and they have this regret, I'm a failure in life. Why are you a failure in life? I didn't earn enough money. What about other arbiters of success? What about other aspects with regard to success? Let us look at what the Holy Quran tells us, my dear respected brothers. One or two ayats. وسيق الذين اتقوا وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا. Allah Ta'ala will drag the disbeliever of truth towards the fire of Jahannam. حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها. When he comes towards the door of Jahannam, the doorkeeper of Jahannam will say, أَلَمْ يَعْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Did the Rasul of Allah not come upon you? يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ. Did he not read the ayats upon you? Did not tell you that this is the commands of Allah? وَيُنْذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Did not tell you to fear that one day you are going to account for your deeds by Allah? قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَاقِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. We'll say yes, but the azab of Allah will then become compulsory upon them because they had seen or had the opportunity of realizing the truth and they disdained it. Look at another place in the Holy Quran. تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارُ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ. Allah will brand with the fire of Jahannam the faces of those who had done evil and those who had adopted the path of falsehood. Allah will brand them and Allah will tell them, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Did Allah Ta'ala's ayat not come upon you? Did Allah's ayat not come upon you that you disdained it when you were in this world? And they will say, look at what they will say, رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِّينَ. Oh Allah, misfortune had come our way and we had become amongst those who were astray. غَلَبَتْ وَكُنَّا رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ. Oh Allah, send us back to this world, now we will do right. Send us back to the world, now we will do right. We made a mistake in the past, now we will do right. Allah will tell them, اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. In a way, the ulama say, اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا means, just get out of here. وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ, do not speak to me. اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Just get away from here and do not speak to me with regard to getting another chance. You had enough chances. Did the ayat of Allah not come upon you? My dear respected brothers, the person who is on falsehood and if he comes to the stage, even if he had the most luxurious house in this world, he is a failure. Do you agree with that or not? Yes. Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will take a person who, it comes in a hadith, that if a person had a life where he only had ease, now normally it doesn't happen, each and every one person, every person has his fair share of good and bad and happiness and sadness. But for example sake, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if a person had only happiness, Allah on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah were to dip him in Jahannam and take him out. Not put him, dip him, put him in Jahannam, take him out. Oh my bondsman, oh my servant, did you ever see any happiness? A little while he was in Jahannam, he will say, oh Allah, I never saw happiness in my life. That person who adopts falsehood in this world, with all his power and his might and his media and his propaganda, wallah, it is our belief that that person ultimately is going to be a failure. Even if they have a degree of dominance in this world for whatever reason Allah has given them. On the other hand, a person who remains on truth, irrespective of the circumstances that come upon him, the fault that you and I make is that we don't think that the circumstances that come upon us are a test from Almighty Allah. Just as the difficult circumstances that come are a test from Almighty Allah, wallah, the good condition that comes are similarly a test from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّهِ. We see this ayat many a times written in the houses of people who have beautiful homes. This is the grace of Almighty Allah. We have a new car, we put a sticker, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّهِ. This is the grace of Almighty Allah. Very few people, we are very intelligent, we don't complete the ayat. Everywhere, you look in the 19th surah of the Holy Quran, what is the next ayat? لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. To test whether you are grateful with what Allah has given you or not. That is what Allah has given you. Not for any other reason that you are entitled to it. No, you are not entitled to it. Allah has given it to you to test how you deal with the favors Allah has granted you. Now when that person adopts the truth, Wallah, even if he doesn't have one pound to his name in his bank, he would be successful if Allah Ta'ala accepts his good deeds. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. Allah will take the person who fear Allah and take him towards the door of Jannah. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, until when he comes to the door of Jannah. فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, Allah will open up the doors of Jannah and said, خَزَنَتْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ تِبْتُمْ فَدُخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. Salam be upon you. Congratulations. Once you go into this door, you will never come out. Nabi Kareem SAW had said, if Allah were to have granted a person in this world only difficulties, that also doesn't happen. Even a person's life that might be apparently difficult, it has its fair share of happiness. But for example, Nabi SAW said, for argument's sake, he only had difficulty, Allah were to dip him in Jannah and take him out. Oh my bondsman, did you ever see difficulty in his life? Wallah, he will turn around and say, Wallah, I never ever saw difficulty. I never ever saw difficulty. Nabi Kareem SAW had said, when the people of Jannah will be in Jannah, Allah will ask them, oh my people, araditum, are you happy? And they will say, Allah, why shouldn't we be happy? You have granted us dignity, respect, honor. We have all types of Jannah in front of us. Allah will again ask them. The people of Jannah will say, why is Allah asking us so many times? They will go to the ulama. They also will need the ulama also. So we'll go to the ulama and say, why is Allah always asking us, are we happy? And then the ulama will tell them, yes, there is something that is left. Tell Allah that Allah must reveal himself to us. Tell Allah that Allah must reveal himself to us. وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. On that day, people's faces will be fresh when they see Allah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has made mention, Allah knows the sihat of this hadith. When the first time human being sets sight upon Allah, the first time you set your sight upon Allah, your first gaze will last for 800,000 years. Imam Ghazali has written in his Ihya al-Ulum. My dear respected, that person who adopts that truth and he comes to that stage, wallah, he is successful. Irrespective of what was his situation in this world. That is why truth and falsehood is something that we really need to understand. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast upon truth. Allah keep us away from falsehood. And this is our dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us, irrespective of the situations, that we must always be steadfast upon the truth. Inshallah, towards this end, there are many activities that are carrying on. Inshallah, also Jamaat will be going out. So important for our young people that they go out, so that they can see the iman with regard to truth, and iman that what is the reality and what will be the outcome of truth, and also what will be the pitfalls of people who adopt the way of falsehood. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى واجعلنا هادين مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مذلين سلما لأوليائك وحربا لأعدائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ورحمته